Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray, and we'll go on. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for opportunity to read from it now and to look at it together. Help us to be mindful and aware of the Spirit that was just sung, greater is he that is in us, if we are saved, and me as a saved person, than he that is in the world. Help us to understand the potential and the privilege that you give through your Holy Spirit, and help us to be used of you and to eradicate the sin that is cramping and grieving the Holy Spirit, and help us to allow you to work through us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to say, as Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, Christ liveth in me. Point number one, do you realize that if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives within you? How does that make you feel? I mean, imagine pouring a whole thing of diamonds, a whole weightage, a tonnage of diamonds into a dumpster. It just doesn't seem to go together, does it? That dumpster is not supposed to have diamonds in it. Imagine taking an unworthy vessel and filling it up with something valuable. That's what God does when he puts his Holy Spirit in human beings like you and I. That comes through salvation. And we're unworthy vessels, but we're filled with him. And I want to just stop and say that that's on purpose. And that is so that people will say, you know what, it's certainly not the vessel. It's what's in the vessel that makes all the difference. Unworthy vessels. And I hope that humbles you and helps you to think about just the awesome privilege of being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, if you're not saved, you cannot have the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us that without salvation, you have none of the Spirit. Unless you are led of the Spirit of God, you are the sons of God. And so without the Spirit of God, you are hopeless because you are not saved. And so salvation is what gives us the Spirit of God. Now, being filled with the Spirit is different than being saved. Being filled with the Spirit is something else, and we'll talk about it as we go on. But being filled with the Spirit is when you empty yourself of everything else and you are filled with the Spirit of God. I mentioned the dumpster a minute ago. If the dumpster is half full of garbage and then you pour diamonds in, that dumpster is not filled with diamonds. It's filled with diamonds and garbage. I'm afraid that's what most of us are. Most of us as Christians in this day and age in our carnal living, we are not full of the Holy Spirit. Do you know you're robbing yourself when you're not full of the Holy Spirit? Imagine if someone told you, we'll give you all the diamonds that your vessel can hold, and you show up at the distribution center and your vessel's half full of junk. You robbed yourself, didn't you? They were going to fill your vessel full of diamonds, but instead you had junk in it. Listen, folks, we've got junk in our lives, and that's why we can't be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit of God does for us when we are saved and we are filled with His Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll go back to Ephesians 5 in a minute, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all the things, yea, the deep things of God. How many of you have seen the video, or a video, of someone who was given those special glasses that helps a colorblind person see colors? Have you seen one of those videos? Now, if you haven't, you need to go on the internet and look for one of those videos. Most of the time, what happens? They put those glasses on. It's usually like a birthday present or something, or a gift, and they open it up, and they know what it is, and their entire world has been black and white or whatever. And they put those glasses on, and they look around, and what do they usually do? They cry. Why? Because all of a sudden their eyes saw something they never realized they were missing. They had no clue what they were missing till they put them on. How many of you have seen the video of the little baby boy sitting on his mother's lap, and they just put a cochlear implant in his ear, and they talk to him, and they say, "Hi, how are you?" And his eyes get big, and his mouth starts to open, and then a big smile comes across his face. And about that time, you get choked up. Why? Because for the first time, his ears experienced something it had never heard before. Listen, the Bible says when the Holy Spirit of God enters your life, the world becomes color and the sound is sweeter. And you experience things you didn't realize existed before. People think that the answer to the reason for not understanding the Bible is a new version of the Bible, an easier to read version. Now, I will say that today's American education system has helped to cause that problem by not being able to comprehend and read. But let me tell you what the real problem is. The real problem is they don't have the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, you can't understand the Word of God. Look what it says here down in verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man, that's the unsaved man, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Most of the misunderstanding of the Word of God is not because of the way God wrote it, not because of the way God gave it, but because you don't have an antenna to receive it. And once you get saved, that changes. I'm not saying you understand everything from the Bible immediately, but all of a sudden, there's color. All of a sudden, there's sound. All of a sudden, you have the ability to start to comprehend things you had no idea. The Spirit quickens and livens our senses. And all of a sudden, for the first time, we are able to comprehend. Someone said it this way. There was a lady who read a book one time. She thought it was the dumbest book she ever read. Then later on, she met a man. The man happened to be the author of that book. She met this man. She fell in love with this man, and they got married. And she found out he wrote that book. So you know what she did? She sat down and she read it again. You know what she said after she read it again? "That's the best book I've ever read in my whole life." Why? She was in love with the author, and she could understand him better. Listen, folks, when you get saved, the Spirit of God begins to dwell in your heart. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you begin to see things, understand things more clearly that the rest of the world just doesn't understand it. They don't get us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I did not order that song to be sung today, but I think God did. Unworthy vessels filled with him, quickened in our senses to understand him. And then thirdly, notice me over in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, here's something else that the Holy Spirit does for you and I when we are saved. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, likewise, the Spirit, capital S, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't always know how to pray. I don't mean I don't know how to close my eyes and talk. I'm saying I don't always know what to say. I don't always know what to pray for. Sometimes I'm just at the mercy of God telling me and showing me and leading me by His Spirit as to what to. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about just communicating with God. I mean, I understand that He knows more than I do. And so it says here, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If you know what I'm talking about, there's times when you know it's wrong, but you don't know how to make it right. And so you're just praying and asking God to listen to your heart. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Folks, I appreciate the fact that I have the Holy Spirit of God to help me read his word and to help me communicate to him. I literally have the Holy Spirit of God to help me understand him and to help him understand me. I have the Holy Spirit of God to communicate with my Heavenly Father. I'm so thankful for my salvation because that's the only way I have access to the Spirit of God. However, The Bible also says, if you'll turn now to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You want to be filled with the Spirit? You have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I am currently on a diet. I didn't say that because I want you to say anything or think anything. Maybe you're like, "You are? Huh." Anyway, I've been on a diet for a while. And you know what? You have to decide to change your diet. You still have to have a diet, but you got to change what you put in it, what your diet intake is. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. My problem was not that I didn't have a problem eating. My problem was is I was eating the wrong stuff. And I was filling up with junk most of the time. And I was not allowing the good stuff in. Listen, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after junk? No. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God? You've got to want it. You've got to desire to be hungry and thirsty for the righteousness of God, the Word of God. The Bible says back there in Ephesians, and we're going to go back to Ephesians and spend the rest of our time in Ephesians. But in Ephesians chapter number 6, it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but rather we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want that sword of the Spirit. I want to know God's Word, to hunger and thirst for His Word, to know God's Word, to hunger and thirst after it. I want to get out of the junk that I've been in and feed on the Word of God. See, the problem isn't that we don't have something to feed on. The problem is we're feeding on the junk. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But what the world does and what Satan has done is made the junk food look really good, and to try to get you to fill up on the junk. How many of you know that the junk food doesn't give good nutrition? And it doesn't satisfy. I took some kids to Pizza Ranch Friday for their award, so I did have a root beer. But other than that, I have not had pop in a long time. You know what? When I drink a pop, as I did Friday, you know what I find out an hour or two later? I am still very thirsty. But when my wife, she's my coach, when my wife makes sure I have two or three bottles of water as I walk out of the door, I tell you what, I am thirst quenched. It's quenching. Listen, folks, you can fill yourself up with all the artificial stuff this world's got, and we do, and we're not quenched. We're not satisfied. And it usually costs more. You know, pop costs more than water, most places. I can get water at my house. We are so unsatisfied, and yet we pay for it. And we fill ourselves up with it. And we walk around dehydrated because we're not doing what we should do with what God told us to do and what God made us to do. You know who made water? And He knows best spiritually as well. And when we fill up on junk, we rob ourselves. And we cheat ourselves. Now, I want to look at some things concerning the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning back in verse number 9. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Yeah, well, you say filled with the Spirit. What do I get from being filled with the Spirit? Well, that shouldn't be our motive, but I'll tell you what, the fruit of being filled with the Spirit is awesome. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. I'm going to tell you something, there's nobody that doesn't want all those. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Galatians 5 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is all those things. And it says here in Ephesians 5, verse 9, goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." Don't fill up on the junk, but rather call it junk. Reprove them. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." I'm going to tell you right now, it's a shame if you know more about what's going on in the Hollywood world than in God's world. I never watched it, and I don't care to watch it. But they keep talking about this HBO series, and I won't even say the name of it. But I know it's junk, just from what little I know of it. I don't need to fill up on that. I don't need to fill up on the soaps. I don't need to fill up on any of the junk that this world has to offer. It's garbage. It's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And verse 13 says, all things will be made manifest. One day it'll be brought to light how wicked and how rotten it was. Verse 14, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And so then verse number 15, here's one of the things that happens when you are filled with the Spirit of God. It says in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Spirit of God helps you to understand God's will for your life. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian, besides going to heaven, is having a will laid out for you by the Creator of the universe. Of course, it's His will that we're saved. That He's not willing that any should perish. He wants us to be saved, but of course, a lot of people void that. But even after we're saved, there's some of us, a lot of us, that aren't letting Him direct our path. We're not acknowledging Him in all our ways. We're not allowing His Holy Spirit to be our guide and our direction. And the Bible says, walk circumspectly, and to recognize the what is not God's will, and to be discerning of what understanding the will of the Lord really is. I'm going to tell you right now, it is a blessing to know God's will for my life. And I'm not telling you that I'm a perfect person who never sins, but I can stand here and say I know I'm doing what God wants me to do with my life. And no matter what age you are in here right now, I hope you know you are doing God's will for your life today. And if you're not, it's because you're not filled with the Spirit of God and you're letting the junk influence you and misdirect you. Notice here also it says in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know what's wrong with a lot of us as Americans, I think, but as Christians especially, we just waste so much time. I was talking to the young people the other night, you know, the young graduates in our church. We have a couple of them and others that have recently graduated. We have several young adults that have just graduated from high school or in college age, and we have those sitting amongst us. Let me tell you something. If you're not in God's will, you end up finding somebody, some girlfriend, a guy friend to spend time with, and it's a waste of time. You don't have that time to waste. You're wasting that time. And some of us, I know some of us in here didn't get saved till you were an adult. You'd love to be able to have gotten saved when you were a child. There's some in here, they didn't get saved till they were seven. The couple that's celebrating their 20th anniversary tomorrow, times whatever, they got saved 4 years ago. They don't have as much Bible up here. They wish they could rewind the clock. Hey, listen, those of us that are younger, don't waste that time. Don't waste that time, because one day you're going to say, boy, I wish I could redeem the time. I wish I could rewind the clock. You know, the Spirit of God helps us not to waste time. Some of us as parents have woke up one day and realized our kids are growing up. What happened to the time? The Bible tells us right here, through the Spirit of God, through the filling of the Spirit of God, we can redeem some of that time rather than waste it. Notice also, verse 18, be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Obviously, being drunk is a sin. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker. The Bible also says that the Holy Spirit is a teacher. Now, which do you think is better for you? Now then, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. My father recently announced that he has Alzheimer's. My father's always had a memory problem. When he was about probably 20 years old, he was injured in a freak accident injury while in the military during the Vietnam era. It resulted in him being in a coma for several months and being in a hospital bed for almost a year. They told him that he would never be normal and that he would never be able to think and process. And, of course, God, by his grace, proved them wrong, and he became a successful businessman at first and then became a preacher afterwards. My father's favorite song, he has two of them, Trust and Obey, and the other one is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. My dad sings terribly. I mean, it's so bad, it's funny. It's so bad, all right? I'm going to tell you right now, though, there's a reason why it says speaking to yourselves. No, no. It says make a joyful noise, doesn't it? I'm going to tell you right now, as his memory slips, and I've seen this because I go to the nursing homes all the time. You can have someone sitting there, there can be drool coming out of their mouth, they just seem to be lost, and you start to sing The Old Rugged Cross and Amazing Grace and Blessed Assurance, and the light comes on. You're not doing yourself any harm by singing and memorizing and reminding yourselves of what God's Word says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. People laugh at Mr. Pryor. I don't laugh at him. Mr. Pryor loves Patch the Pirate. You know what? He's doing himself a favor. The more we meditate on the good stuff and we fill ourselves up, the Spirit of God doesn't like the junk. And you can't be filled with the Spirit of God if you've got the junk. And the world's got their junk music too. Do you know that? What good has that junk music done for you? It's in fact, sometimes people will try to play some song, some worldly song at a funeral. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't help. But when you speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It doesn't matter if you carry a tune to someone else's liking. You are receiving a blessing. The Spirit of God causes spiritual meditation, conversation, and song. The Bible says, behold, God is my salvation. He is also my strength and my song. God is my song. It is a blessing to have the ability to sing the Word of God. We sing the Bible here in Sunday School Hour. Next week during Vacation Bible School, we will learn 5 new Bible verse songs, and we will sing them into our memory. And they'll forever be in a tune in our head. What a blessing. Speaking this straight out of the Word of God, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now also notice verse 20. Here's something else that the fruit of being filled with the Spirit does. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've not known her for very long. There is a lady up at the manor here in town who has 2 stubs for legs. Without going into details, her relatives have rewritten her will and have rewritten friends out of her will and even not even allowing her friends to come see her because of greed and wanting to keep her possessions for themselves when she finally passes away. I think she's aware of all of that. But when we go and visit, as we did last week, and we go and visit and go to encourage her, you know what happens? We are encouraged instead. You know why? Because even though half her body has been taken because of disease, and even though all of her wealth has been taken from her, and even her friends have been taken from her, she still has a smile on her face, and she still has something to be thankful for. What's wrong with her? She's got the Spirit of God. She's a thankful person. He brings a spirit of thankfulness. It doesn't say give thanks always for all the good things you like. That's not what it says, does it? Giving thanks always for what things? All things. Remember what we read back in Romans 8? All things work together for good. It doesn't say all things necessarily feel good. But all things work together for good. So I can say, I am thankful for all things, knowing He's doing it on purpose for a reason. He's allowing it on purpose for a reason. And I can give thanks and praise. What if God's main reason in that story I just told is because there's a worker at the manor, an employee, that can't help but notice this Christian lady and can't figure out what it is that makes her different until she sees her singing about her Lord? Friend, there's always a reason why God's got things going on the way He does. Can you be thankful in all things? Or are you just like the world? You're just thankful when it feels good. But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you can be thankful for all things. Then notice 21, verse 21. He causes us through His filling to be humble. Verse 21 says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submit yourselves. Submit as a humble servant. I was always taught that when I walk into a building, I should hold the door, especially for a lady, for any female. But I end up just holding the door for just about anybody and let them walk through first. Why? After you, I'm submitting to you. Submitting ourselves one to another is serving one another. You know, the word minister means servant. The word deacon means servant. We're to serve one another, the Bible says. We're to submit to one another. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus took a towel and some water and washed His disciples' feet. Now, Peter said, there's something wrong with this picture. I'm not letting you wash my feet. Jesus said, you let me wash your feet. Jesus washed Peter's feet. He washed another guy's feet named Judas that night. I'm not serving anybody that don't deserve it. Let me ask you a question. What do you deserve? Because the King of the universe died on the cross and paid for your sin. Submitting ourselves one to another. Allowing others to go first. He causes us to have that kind of submission. And then in the very next verse He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands and unto the Lord. Now in verse 21 He says, one to another. But obviously in the marriage there is an order of role, a chain of a command, if you want to say. Wives, submit yourselves unto their own husbands unto the Lord. And if you have a problem with that, I can guarantee you you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Because verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Verse 24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto the Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. What woman wouldn't want a husband who loved her the way Christ loves us? You know what the filling of the Holy Spirit does? It strengthens and maintains the bond of marriage. The filling of the Spirit of God strengthens and maintains and glues together that marriage. My wife knows her role better than I know my role. And I don't deserve my wife. But I'm thankful that God's given me a submissive wife who submits to others and allows others to sometimes treat her badly, knowing that God will take care of it. And I appreciate the fact that it's not hard for me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. But you know what? When you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you didn't even choose wisely. And when you are allowing yourself to be filled with other things, you don't choose wisely. I'm thinking of a couple right now. A few years ago, they were sitting in this room. They were members of this church. But I think the husband had his agenda and what he wanted to do and his goals and the things he wanted to accomplish. And so they were determined to move, and they moved, and they went somewhere. And when they went wherever they went, they couldn't find a good church to go to. And I just wondered in my heart, are they doing the right thing? When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit instead of your own thinking, and you don't fill up with junk because you're filled with Him instead, and you do what you're supposed to do because He says to, not because you want to. To make a long story short, they are not even married today. And all that and all this that we've talked about can be avoided if we'll redeem the time and we'll allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with Himself. Now, lastly, back in chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verse 30, 31, and 32, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You know, it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's possible to grieve the seal. We're sealed by Him. It doesn't say break the seal, does it? But you know why some people, and maybe somebody in this room, doubts their salvation? You know why that happens? Because you're grieving the Holy Spirit. When I got right with God and I started maturing as a Christian, I stopped doubting my salvation. But we grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we fill ourselves up with other things. The Holy Spirit of God was given this place to dwell in. We are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we allow the temple to be full of other things that don't belong in that temple, we are grieving the Spirit of God. No wonder there are doubts and confusion. Notice verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be to put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." When you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you can't forgive very well. You can't be kind and tender-hearted. You think that you should go first, letting instead of them go first. He is grieved when we are occupied with our sins. He is grieved when we are filled or even partially filled with something else. He is grieved when we are not what we could be and should be. The Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart." And I know this for a fact. The little times in my life that I have been filled with the Spirit of God have been the greatest blessings of my life. And He's grieved when I rob myself and Him of His glory. Don't grieve Him. Right now, is there sin that shouldn't be there? Is there sin that ought to be eradicated? When you're filled with the Spirit of God, it says Stephen, a deacon, was being stoned to death, but he was full of the Holy Ghost. And it says while he was being stoned, he said, "Father, forgive them." Forgive. Forgiveness comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Letting go of all the excuses and all the things and just letting God be God. Are you filled with the Spirit of God, or are you full of something else? Let's bow our heads for a moment.